Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of KCBX and its team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, we join Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik as he speaks with volunteers from the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter about what beach cleanups reveal about the health of our coastline. It's going to be an interesting hour. We invite you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation today, Thursday, between 1 and 2. You can join us and call in at 805-781-3875, or after the program, email your questions to the host at voices@kcbx.org. And with that, let's join Mario Espinosa-Kulik and his guests. Over to you, Mario.
Thank you, Brad. Hey, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX. So today, we're talking about one of the Central Coast's most treasured natural resources, our beaches. Every year, thousands of volunteers spend countless hours removing them litter and other trash from California's coastline. And those cleanups also tell an important story about where pollution comes from and what communities can do to address it. While individual action matters, many of the challenges facing our beaches also involve infrastructure, public policy, tourism, and environmental stewardship. So I'm so excited to introduce you to our guests today. We have joining us Lars Ledewig, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter and volunteer coordinator with Young Professionals Networking Group. We also have Celia Antonia Zarate, impact ambassador with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter, and Mickey Malott, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter and board president of the Young Professionals Networking Group. Thank you all for joining us and welcome to Central Coast Voices.
Thank you, Mario. So grateful for having Surfrider here today to talk Central Coast cleanups.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so excited that everyone's here. I want to first start off with Lars, and just so our listeners can get to know who you are. But if you could introduce yourself and tell us what first inspired you to begin volunteering with Surfrider.
Yeah, my name is Lars Ledewig. I had been kind of looking to get more involved with the community, and then it just so happens that my stepbrother, Mickey, was, you know, leading YPNG and had this, like, volunteer coordinator position available, and I was like, well, this is kind of perfect. So I started going to beach cleanups with him and then eventually took that over, and I've been doing it for just about 6 months now. But it's always just fun to get out and walk on the beach, and we actually get quite a bit of trash, even though it's a relatively small beach at Avila, but still, you can still find a lot of trash, and even one weekend, we got, 55 pounds of trash.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big impact, I mean, especially because there's Dog Beach. Or
yeah, too. Well, right now we just go to the one by the boardwalk, kind of, or where the businesses are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot of other beaches to clean up.
Yeah. Thank you, Lars. Celia, what about you? What motivated you to become an impact ambassador with the Surfrider Foundation?
Yes, Mario, I started with Surfrider actually as the Ocean Friendly Restaurant Lead. So I was talking with local eateries about doing away with single-use plastic and composting and saying no to plastic bags for takeout. And then also participating in the beach cleanups, which is how I ended up meeting YPNG, Young Professional Network Group, co-hosting the monthly beach cleanup that they do in Avila Beach. So my role sort of shifted to impact ambassador because I enjoy continuing the Surfrider, the movement that Surfrider has, which is, you know, caring for the sand, the waves, the ocean. And so so that's how I've my role somewhat evolved into continue to do work in any capacity that's ocean advocacy related.
And as an impact ambassador, how do you do your role?
So it's meeting with people who would like to get involved with Surfrider to do a beach cleanup, or organizing our materials that we keep in storage, to tabling events and helping out with beach cleanups, and also doing my own beach cleanup. I wear my Surfrider gear. I usually do it at sunset almost every day. You can catch me out on the beach walking and picking up things. And then it starts the conversation with what might be on the beach, and maybe the other, like, a few weeks ago, I came across a wooden pallet, if you can believe that, that had washed up on shore over at Beachcomber in Shell Beach. And one of the surfers helped me carry it up the stairs. So it starts a conversation while I'm wearing my gear, because I think a lot of people do want to get involved but aren't really sure how to approach it, or, you know, which organization to join, but just starting.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Celia. And Mickey, how about yourself? What brings you to the Young Professional Network Group and Surfrider?
Well, I joined YPNG a little over a year ago, and I started as their volunteer coordinator. And I was looking for some volunteering opportunities that were easy for groups, you know, because a lot of opportunities you have to sign up and there's some commitment, and so the beach cleanup made a lot of sense. I forget how I got in touch with Celia, but somehow in an email, I guess.
I think you reached out to Surfrider, and then that's sort of the impact ambassador role. It would be to reach back out to someone who would like to get involved, and how can we make it work? And it's been a great partnership with YPNG. They've had great turnouts. And a part of, as being an ocean-friendly restaurant lead, one of the restaurants that we do have signed up is Inslow County, is Blue Moon in Avila Beach. So Mickey wanted to make it also fun for anyone who signed up or who's with YPNG. So we would meet there at Blue Moon for like drinks, appetizers, and then do follow up with the beach cleanup.
Nice. Well, thanks for sharing about that. I mean, for when I think about the beach and the cleanup, you know, I just start thinking about, like, the people who don't clean up might be the folks that might think, like, oh, this is someone else's job, like, and so I think part of that disconnect of, like, they don't know where to start is this assumption that someone is doing it. But I don't know if you have more to say to that aspect of it.
I would say to that person who might be thinking along, like, I totally hear what you're saying, Mario, that if you've ever walked on the beach and stepped on a plastic cap or looked down and saw the corner end of a plastic bag that was a chip bag or a candy bag, that's sort of your call to action to join, to somehow get involved in a beach cleanup in your community, whether it's Cayucas, Morro Bay — we've done Morro Bay — to Grover Beach, Oceano, and Avila Beach, of course, our busiest beach.
What is the cleanup like? Does it rotate those different beaches? Is there a certain time of the month?
Well, we've stuck to Avila on, I think it's the third Sunday every month, and meeting at Blue Moon. At,
6:30 right now. So we meet at 6:30 at Blue Moon to do some socializing. They have a special drink. I think they donate like 50% or all the money to Surfrider.
Surfrider Spritz.
Surfrider Spritz. And so we just, meet up around 6:30 to socialize, and then the beach cleanup starts at 7 on every third Sunday of the month.
I've talked with people about, like, environmental justice and things like environmental racism and just awareness of, like, nature and how to care for it. Where does this initiative land on that scale? Like, are we doing some sort of environmental justice by preventing litter, or where do you feel your broader movement for Surfrider, like, where you're contributing?
That's a great question. Collecting the data is key. One of the beaches I failed to mention is Pismo Beach. That's also an extremely busy beach that deserves beach cleanups also. Collecting the data is key because that's how we're able to implement change, for example, changing local laws. Mm-hmm. Surfrider was the first to change law in, for example, Laguna Beach, no Mylar balloons are allowed at that beach. Cigarette butts, that's something that is probably the biggest as far as volume found on the beach. So we're working to change law on things like that.
I love that. So it's like an intersection of both like justice for the environment, where we have access to healthy, clean environments for all people, but also the sort of public health initiative where like you're preventing infection and disease by cleaning up these beaches. So God forbid anyone steps on like a nail or glass or something like that.
Yes, that's a good point, because in a beach cleanup, actually in Avila, one of the Gulf posts that have the nails, we have found a few on the beach, and that would be a terrible step.
And when I'm going to ask you all to reflect for just a moment on like the time you've been doing this, and just I wanted to ask so you could share with our listeners, is there an experience that's stuck with you from one of your cleanups that you'd like to share?
God, there's so many. We call them good finds, but they're not, you know.
Yeah. I guess just surprising how much people leave.
Behind, yes.
Yeah, they leave a lot behind. I think I would do a lot of camping as a kid, and I know one of the big rules was if you pack it in, you pack it out. So anybody going to the beach, you should go to the beach knowing that whatever you bring there, you're going to bring away from the beach too. You can't just leave stuff on the beach, you know, so pack it in, pack it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of the a lot of things that we find on the beach can be repurposed. Mm-hmm. And so I have actually done quite a bit of research and done my best to repurpose whatever I can. There are a lot of socks found on the beach next to cigarette butts. Second Cut Project, which is a smart wool affiliated company. They'll take any brand, any sock, so they're repurposed there. The single shoes, a lot of single shoes found on the beach. Sole to Sole, that's a way to repurpose there. So, and then, of course, our local thrift shop, Assistance League, we give whatever we can that can be repurposed there.
Good. You donate some things to Woods, too, right? Like towels or
tennis balls,
stuff like that.
What's awesome about Assistance League is that's a good point, Mickey. Thank you for reminding me. There are a couple of bins, and one of them is for the shelter, and one is for textile recycling, and another for the animal shelter. So old towels and old blankets, things like that, are perfect for the shelter.
And what would you say is what keeps you coming? For like, is it about the ocean? Is it just holistic? Like, what's that spark that keeps this movement alive?
Well, I mean, it's just nice to get out to the beach. It's nice when you get out to the beach with people too. So there's like the social aspect. But then like you mentioned, like the community, the social health of actually like making a change in the community. So I think a big part of it is just, for me, it's like being part of the change that I want to see in society. You know, like I want there to be clean beaches, and I don't want the alternative to be that we like sterilize the beach to keep it clean. I want to be part of the effort to like actually live with nature and, you know, not just keep the like the clams and the snails alive there, but also to, you know, prevent people from stepping on random nails or whatever it is. So yeah, it's all about just keeping the beach clean.
I'm Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. Across California, volunteer beach cleanups remove thousands of pounds of trash every year while also collecting valuable information about the types of litter entering our waterways. Celia was just talking about how it's important to collect the data because it helps move public policy to have more common sense laws and guidance for beach goers. The banning on Mylar balloons. But I want to return to our guests and introduce them for folks who might have just joined in. We have Lars Ladewig, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation, San Luis Obispo chapter, and volunteer coordinator with YPNG, Young Professionals Networking Group. We also have Celia Antonia Zarate, who is Impact Ambassador with Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo Chapter, and Mickey Malott, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo Chapter, and president of the YPNG. To join in and ask a question of our guests today, you can call 805-781-3875 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Our lines are open and waiting for your call. For people who may have never attended a beach cleanup, what would you say a typical beach cleanup event looks like? I know you meet at Blue Moon, and then when it's ready to go do the cleanup, how does that look like?
Well, we typically split up into groups of two or three, depending on how many people there are, and then someone will have a bucket, and each person will have a grabber arm thing, mm-hmm. like the shark. Remember when you were a kid?
The
And we'll kind of split up, go in different directions, and maybe for about an hour we'll clean up, and then we meet back up and sort things, weigh them, mm-hmm. and throw them away.
And the social aspect of the appetizers and drinks before, how would you say that helps to build the team, feeling, the vibe before going out to do that?
We just kind of get together and chill, and everybody meets each other, talk about, what's your job, why are you here on the Central Coast. We get a lot of, students, Cal Poly and Cuesta students, also just community members who want to make a difference. So it's nice to just meet everybody and then get connected with other people, like-minded people in the community. And then, kind of like Mickey was saying, we go into groups and you basically just walk the beach and chat and pick stuff up. And
you have a time frame?
It's about – so, right now we're just meeting at 6:30 and then the beach cleanup is at 7 and we're done by 8.
Okay, sunset.
So exactly. It stays around sunset. That's where we try to keep it. Yeah.
Cool. And Celia, do you have any information about, what are the most common items that people leave behind on the beach, or what you find during these beach cleanups? I know you said socks and cigarette butts earlier.
And shoes, clothing, towels, blankets, toys that are broken.
We've seen a lot of toys from the hotels.
Mm-hmm, a lot of that. A lot of, the patron going to the restaurant and then bringing their meal out to the sand. Mm-hmm. And leaving the plastic cups, straws, icy cups behind, a lot of that. Besides trash, like the corner ends of candy and potato chip bags and doggy bags, unfortunately, right. too,
yeah.
and doggy toys.
A lot of it is just food. Somebody ate something and they just threw the wrapper down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And have you noticed any sort of patterns or trends around certain times of year or just over the years, this consistent pattern of trash? Or
I would say during the summer, a lot of broken tents, broken chairs that are left out on the sand. And this summer, for the first time, I've been doing this since 2021. When I relocated here, almost like digging a hole in the sand and then putting they have a trash bag, like a white trash bag with a drawstring on it, and putting all their trash in it and then leaving it there in the sand. So that this summer I have noticed, I don't even know, I don't understand that concept, like how that even started, but
like they bury it or they leave it on top?
Sort of dig a...
Like a trash hole?
Like a trash hole. Oh. Yeah.
Maybe
and then
there's
leaving.
Some like viral video. It's like, yeah. Oh, look at this beach hack.
Oh my gosh.
And then
you bury it. You dig it out. You put the bag and it's a trash hole.
We've come across a couple of those this summer.
Huh. Wow. So it might have been like a TikTok influence.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. It's...
I've been living in the Central Coast since 2010. I would visit a lot as a kid before I ended up moving here. But I would also notice like around like the 4th of July is just like insane. Like to when you're leaving and looking out to like everyone's leaving, but you see everyone just leaving their stuff.
Yeah,
behind.
Getting up and walking away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to pack it in, pack it out. Like, mm-hmm. if you bring something to the beach, it's your responsibility to bring it away from the beach as well.
Where does most of the debris appear to be coming from? Like, is it...
Oh, good question.
How does it come... Like, people bring trash everywhere they go, right? But, like, where does this come from?
Well, I don't mean to be a name dropper, mm-hmm. but McDonald's, mm-hmm. Chipotle, In-N-Out...
these convenient
besides fast. The you know maybe Custom House and
mm-hmm. A fair amount from the restaurants around.
Unfortunately it is like a lot of the local restaurants and the tourists mm-hmm. Which you know we want to support and get them involved as part of the community to participate in helping to keep the beaches clean But I know it's hard when you're running a business. It's like, what do you use besides plastic?
Right.
You know, there aren't a lot of options. And then especially when you're a tourist and you go to the shop and you get like snow cone and it comes in a plastic thing. And then you go to throw it away in the trash, but the trash is full and it hasn't been emptied for hours. So what do?
Yeah. Or a lot of times we'll find tags ripped off. Like from Ross.
Yeah,
or
someone just
Marshalls
bought
or
a swimsuit,
Walmart.
Ripped the tag off,
throw
it on the beach.
And maybe I've actually found a Walmart bag with the receipt in it and dollars and change.
Yeah, the receipts.
Like they just were ready to go to the beach and you know, tossed it.
All of this
it.
Is biodegradable. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that clarification. I mean, that's a lot of trash, and it just feels like what I was going to say is like Avila and Pismo, for example, give off this like resort vibe. I mean, there are resorts on mm-hmm. the beaches, but
beautiful
what's
resorts.
Different is yes. that the beaches aren't maintained by those resorts like the people might be used to.
Well, let me add to that, Mario, because that's a good point. But Vespera, mm-hmm. excuse me, not Vesper, that's my pet, Morky. Vespera Resort does host a beach cleanup. You can check their website, and I believe they include donuts and coffee.
Hmm.
And also, the Lighthouse in Avila Beach is now starting to host beach cleanups. I'm not sure what day of the week that is. I want to say Monday, but I could be wrong. And I believe they also offer coffee and donuts. And I think a lot of that stems from kind of what we've all been talking about, what we've been finding out there on the beach, whether it's food or plastic bags filled with trash. Unfortunately, I did, this is something I should probably broach too. Unfortunately, there will be machinery raking. I believe Pismo Beach just got a permit for 17 times a year.
Oh.
So I'm not a big fan of that because I've participated in the, as an impact ambassador, I've participated in the clam shell surveys. You know, there are clams out there. We have beautiful purple sand dollars out there. So raking that sand could be detrimental for them, for that ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Raking, it sounds like such a good solution because it's just, rake up all the trash. But then... that has such a big impact on like the clams and the snails and all the other things that live there.
Yeah.
And I know like sometimes you see like little bugs on the beach and it's kind of like, oh, I wish they weren't there. but that's part of the ecosystem. And so if you impact those smaller things, it's going to impact the larger things, and it's just going to throw everything out of balance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just like a giant claw through people's homes or like through.
Right. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Especially the tide pools. And mm-hmm. Thanks for that note on the ecological impact. I mean, with that, like that data and the trash data and all these things that you collect, how is that documented? Like, how is that measured? Is it just simply like a
scale? Yeah, but I mean, basically, we have a spreadsheet or like a clipboard. So when we go into groups, you know, one person has the bucket, everyone has grabbers, and then one person has a clipboard. So as you're picking up, it's like, oh, you know, I found another chip bag, another sock, another thing. So we're actually tallying everything that we pick up so that we actually have data to input into the website. And that is part of how we collect, you know, the data to say, oh, there's like all this food trash on Avila Beach. You know, where's that coming from? Who in the area is providing that? So that's part of how we collect the data, yeah. And we also weigh all the trash too at the end.
Yes, the Slow Chapter Surfrider, the Slow Surfrider Chapter also does microplastics. Testing of the sand, and we document that. We test the waters here, and we document that. We collect the trash, and we have all that document. We submit it to HQ headquarters so that that's a compilation. So if anyone is interested, please check out all our social handles. Instagram is easy. We post all of that on there and share.
Thank you. And for when this is really good to know, like how we make the beach look cleaner in terms of the ecological impacts that we were just talking about. One, like the ecosystems, that was really important to mention. Are there any other ecological impacts that are being supported through these efforts to like prevent chaos and catastrophe? Like,
well, I think that's part of Surfrider's movement, right, is we're trying to stop it from reaching the waves in the ocean mm-hmm. by going to the sand first, by having these discussions and sharing it with everyone to think about, as Lars said, you know, you pack in and pack out.
Pack it in, pack
it
out.
Pack it in, pack it out, yeah. You know.
I think that's just a Boy Scout saying.
Even though it seems like, I think you referred to it earlier as like kind of common sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're all in the moment. And, you know, everybody loves a beautiful beach photo. Maybe not thinking about like what's around them because they're trying to catch the sunset. That's, you know, it's a sort of being in the moment. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and we're going to take a short break to hear from our team, and we'll be right back on Central Coast Voices.
This also means that when you're in the grocery store looking at pre-washed bags of lettuce, they're probably at an even greater risk than the whole heads of lettuce. You know, you're seeing triple wash, you might think that's safer, but in reality, that bag of pre-washed lettuce might have been exposed to the contaminated poop water three times over.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Hey, Noel, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Today.
Today who?
Today Explained, a daily news show that takes the news very seriously, but isn't afraid to have a laugh once in a while, as you can tell from the knock, knock joke in our radio promo.
Sean, jokes are supposed to be funny.
Okay, well, Noel, humor is a subjective.
Okay, man, keep telling yourself that. Today Explained, the jokes on the show are much, much, much better. Join us.
New federal data shows the vast majority of people with serious addictions still are not getting treatment. Critics say there are low-cost medications proven to treat addiction and save lives, but most doctors don't prescribe them.
We would not allow, as a society, people with heart attacks to come to a hospital and not get appropriate treatment. This is as serious as that.
I'm Elsa Chang. That's on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's a look ahead today on KCBX. It's a new lineup for Thursdays with The Daily from 2 to 2:30, with Today Explained following at 2:30. And then it's All Things Considered at a new time starting at 3. Right now, let's return to Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik and his guests from the Surfrider Foundation on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Mario.
Thank you, Brad. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik. Beach pollution is often framed as an issue of individual behavior, but the reality is more complicated, as we've been discussing. Local infrastructure, tourism, waste management, business practices, and environmental policy all shape what eventually ends up along our shoreline. Communities are also experiencing these impacts differently depending on where they live, work, and play. We're going to be continuing the discussion of these topics with our guests, Lars Ladewig, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter, and volunteer coordinator with Young Professionals Networking Group, or YPNG. Celia Antonia Zarate, impact ambassador with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter, and Mickey Malott, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter and board president of the YPNG. To join in and ask a question of our guests, you can call 805-781-3875 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. We've been talking a bunch about, like, what kind of trash, what kind of debris, how do we document this information? And we were about to begin talking about how this all comes together in terms of moving public policy. I wanted to know, first, just like, who came up with this idea? Like, what, for your best knowledge, before we have you like on a follow-up episode, like, who or when did the idea of cleaning up the beach start in this area?
Oh, in this area.
Mm-hmm. Or just like in general for the Surfrider chapter.
I have no idea.
That's a good question.
We should know this answer off the top of our head.
A long time ago,
yeah.
Since 1984, actually, Chad Nelson, who is our leader, this started back then, and actually this would make a great part two to this conversation. There's so much to add to that, because the slow chapter has so many programs, like beach cleanup. I kind of mentioned the Blue Water Task Force, the plastic pollution reduction, climate and clean energy, the ocean-friendly restaurants, which was kind of like what I was doing earlier, and then beach cleanup coordinator. There's so many roles. So we'd love to come back and continue the conversation on foundation and how, the roles that are available and how to get involved.
Yeah, we'll have you back to answer more questions on the history of the Surfrider chapter and where we're moving forward. I do have a caller on the line named Ken from San Luis Obispo, and I'm going to loop you in right now. Hi, Ken. You there?
Yes, I am. Hi, guys.
Hi, Ken.
I hear my own reflection in the background there. What I was basically going to ask is that it seems that a lot of our problems that we have are visitors to the beaches not picking up after themselves. And how do we inspire them? How, without prodding them, but how to get them to basically be better citizens? How do we inspire them? That ultimately seems to be what would help at least make better of the situation we have.
Yes, whether it's signage or actually reaching out to the younger generation, right? Our young stewards that are out there, talking to them at school about, as Lars said, what you bring in, you
pack it in, pack it out.
And if you see something that, isn't your trash, but it's on your path while you're walking on the sand, to help us out, to work together.
Yeah. I think it's unfortunate that, some people don't take responsibility for the footprint that they leave on the beach. And, like you said, like, how do we inspire these people to take their impact and their footprint seriously, especially if they don't live in the area? It's like Maybe they're just here for vacation and then they leave. They don't have to deal with it after they leave. So then that kind of leads to like, well, there need to be like enough trash cans so that they actually have a place to put their trash. Because, yeah, unfortunately, sometimes the trashes get full and then they don't get emptied fast enough, which could potentially be jobs in the area to have people like patrolling the beach more frequently. And then, yeah, like if it gets down to just if there's no other option, you know, it's like it has to be a rule that's enforced. Which, you know, nobody wants to get a ticket when they're having a beach day. But at the same time, you know, like we want to keep our beaches clean. So it is individual responsibility, but there are also infrastructure and root causes. And I think another thing is like people don't realize the impact, the larger impact that it has. Like, you know, the more trash that gets left on the beach, that indirectly, like through kind of this long convoluted loop, it sort of leads to more ecological distress and you know, potentially more dead animals and things like that on the beach. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say is that I frequent Avalope early morning, walking my dogs, and I pick up so much trash, and there are those trash cans are really readily available. And they're not packed. And it's just people are leaving things all over the beach, right in 20 feet from those trash cans. And it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Ken, you're bringing up a good point. And I think part of what's so awesome that Mario has us here today for this discussion is bringing awareness about these different things and that are fines out there on the beach, and how can we remedy them? What can we do about it? How can we get involved? And what Surfrider has been doing in on the Central Coast.
Yeah. Did you have something to add?
Well, I really respect what you guys are doing, and I'll give you a atta girl, atta boy, and I'll sign out, but I think that's one thing that we've got to figure out how to get people more responsible.
Thank you, Ken. Yes, I think part of what Surfrider is doing, if you were to check out our website, I invite you to consider checking out our social handles, is educating you on what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it's beneficial.
You can get more updates from Surfrider by visiting slow.surfrider.org, or their handle is SurfriderSlow. On social media, and Celia has the accounts.
Oh, yes. We're almost everywhere. Mario, we're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, YouTube, and Pinterest.
Okay, well, you're making it really hard on me.
Thank you, Ken.
Right, yeah, let's
okay,
go, Ken.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks, Ken.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was a really good question about, like, responsibility and behavior. But I want to go back to what you were saying earlier, Celia, is that this is about starting a conversation. So, like, the best thing that people can do while you're out noticing trash is just asking for help or talking to the person who you're with about, like, I feel inspired to pick up trash. Do you? You know, I just think that it's just important to say that more than just like a service to pick up trash for people who go to the beach, it's also a place to get connected in terms of the Surfrider chapter, so that people are not just talking amongst themselves in the group, but like that word of mouth extends. And I think that's what's going to impact the individual behavior. Obviously, there's probably more like scientific responses to like how do we change individual behavior, but I really think that what you said earlier about those conversations is helpful.
It brings awareness and things to think about of what you probably don't want to bring to the beach. For example, I think earlier I failed to mention some of the things that I find a lot is actually styrofoam, broken styrofoam pieces from the boogie boards that are wrapped in nylon. you know, once it breaks, it's left out there sometimes and broken in half, and it just starts unthreading. So it's things like that where people can think about. And also, we're Surfrider. We document that. So hopefully we can change, you know, what is brought out to the beach.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like how you were mentioning how some of the resorts are actually starting to host a beach cleanup. I think you know, as individuals or as a small group, it's like great what we can do. But at the end of the day, it's a lot more impactful if we can actually get the community infrastructure involved with local businesses and the resorts. So that's a really big thing that actually YPNG, we're looking to expand to do a second beach cleanup. So we want to find – we're thinking about doing Pismo and
– the dunes maybe.
Yeah, or maybe the dunes. And so we were kind of like thinking about starting to reach out to local businesses and seeing if anyone's interested in sort of like letting us meet up there before and then possibly giving some incentive to.
I could see that.
Yeah. And like it's like a kind of, you know, we bring people in and then, go beach clean up.
There's like the Finns in Grover and then there's like Old Juan's. And Oceano, those are closer to the dunes.
Okay.
And then ideally get them to think about being ocean-friendly restaurant.
Yeah. That's what, when you said that, I was like, what does that mean? And I think about like these restaurants that are near the ocean, but I think it's deeper than that. Like that they're near the ocean, but they're also acting as responsible stewards of the ocean that they're occupying.
Yes, changing the straws from plastic to agave or plant-based, like Blue Moon, for example. They are – and Lure here in SLO.
And Lars, do you have anything more to say about – like I know we have those cleanups coming up and coming with the Vespera and the Lighthouse, but are there other things that local businesses could be doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, the beach-friendly restaurants, those kind of things are big. Cutting down on plastic use, which I know is like – seems impossible these days. Like everything's plastic.
If I can add to that, Surfrider does have on the – it's on the San Luis Obispo I don't have it off the top of my head right now. It's on their website for businesses. It's sort of a guide that Surfriders come up with on how to be ocean friendly. I will get that so that we could add it to your add that link.
For
people to check out
for that page on the website.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that I wanted to get to, which we kind of talked about, was just like the pollution there. You all do a great job of describing like what it is you pick up, and it sounds like a lot, but are there some things that are just like, we're going to need a bigger truck for this, or like we need something else? Like
diapers.
Diapers. Oh, yeah. Those are
fishing
no fun.
Nets.
Actually, I forgot to mention, I think once I found a wallet with $1,500 cash in it.
Wow.
Yes, and I was able to get it back to his rightful owner. Yeah.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, or like engagement rings. Like, I think someone had lost a ring or something once. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of helped look for that.
Yeah, back to those kind of finds. But,
like, has there been like a big old carcass or something?
There are a lot of dead birds on the sand.
Dead birds a lot more recently.
Yeah, and wildlife prefers to leave those on the sand so they can decompose organically.
Mm-hmm.
So we really
don't. Yeah, we're not really picking those up.
No.
Good.
Yeah, not our wheelhouse. Yeah.
Good. I just wanted to know, like, were there any, like, limits to, like, what, you know?
I think the wood pallet that was, I mean, it was broken, but it was, I mean, like a 5x5 wood pallet. I needed help.
So it sounds like
that.
As long as it's safe to move off the beach.
Yes, we wouldn't.
Not like
we wouldn't want anyone to be hurt in the process. Of course, when we host a beach cleanup, we offer gloves and a picker and a bucket, and we pair up always. So, and we do have a waiver that we ask everyone to sign. But you know, we try to be as safe as we possibly can. And if it can't be done, then it can't be done. I mean, there's been tires I haven't been able to lift, and I've asked for help. And thankfully, you know, someone's been able to help me out with something like that. Or even giant umbrellas that like, you know, almost as wide as
like
this,
Costco,
you know,
umbrellas or something.
So that a lot of that comes in with the king's tide too. A lot of those things come up, you know.
Yeah, I imagine that the trash travels across the shoreline. It ends up, whatever doesn't get picked up in one coastline will eventually end up at the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, kind of on what Ken was about, hopefully people feel like listening to this conversation, they feel a little more educated. And that's really, you know, it's what Surfrider is trying to do is promote how can we be better and what can we do to make it better, you know, and work together on this.
Have there been any, like, opposition to cleaning up beaches?
I find most of the time I'm wearing my Surfrider, you know, sweatshirt or T-shirt like I am today, that people want to get involved but don't know how. And I would say that that small 5-10% would say, not my problem. That's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then keep on walking.
Most people are, yeah, so friendly, so appreciative.
Mm-hmm. I'd say 90, almost 95% of the time.
Yeah. Even like girls on the beach will see you picking up and they'll be like, oh, you're like such a good guy.
Oh. Okay.
But yeah, no, it's most of the people are yeah, really nice and friendly.
That's great.
And always say thank you.
I think,
that's
too,
true.
It's like it's kind of like, you know, they see you picking up the trash, and so maybe they feel more motivated to like, oh, I shouldn't leave this, you know.
Yeah. Everyone loves a hero.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Dr. Mario Snoza-Kulik with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. If you've recently joined us, today's program will be available on demand at kcbx.org under Central Coast Voices and wherever you get your podcasts by searching Central Coast Voices, even on your smart speaker. Returning today's guests, we have Lars Ladewig, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter and volunteer coordinator with the Young Professionals Networking Group, YPNG, Celia Antonia Zarate, impact ambassador with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter, and Mickey Malat, volunteer with the Surfrider Foundation San Luis Obispo chapter and board president of the YPNG. You can get more updates from Surfrider by visiting slow.surfrider.org or following them at their handle at surfriderslow. And Celia, help me with the rest of the...
Oh, yeah, because like I said, I feel like we're almost everywhere. That would be Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, YouTube, and Pinterest. So please check us out. See if there's something of interest there and would love to meet up. I'm here locally on the Central Coast, happy to discuss roles or how to participate.
Thank you. I had a question related to just like the land and the ocean. And for example, we've had the Yaktichutichiyaktulini Northern Chumash tribe on the show recently. And they're involved in ocean conservancy efforts as well. I was just wondering, are there any like intersections that you see with the work that you do and like, for example, native land and just like the impacts on our indigenous tribes also who have a connection to the beach?
Well, I know that Surfrider absolutely 100% supports the Chumash and whatever is being done by the whatever they're doing, because we're all on the same page with, you know, marine conservation.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of similar, like, no matter where you are, if you're on the beach or inland, a lot of the times the pollution ends up impacting communities where the pollution is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, the people who are impacted the most are not the people who are actually doing the pollution, which is so frustrating. Yeah, but I won't go too deep into that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, from the wind turbines. I mean, you know, to no drilling.
Oh, and pesticides.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there's so much.
Those are really important factors in terms of, like, what people might – some people may have allergies to, like, those types of things or may be sensitive. Like, for example, our agricultural, like, laborers or farm workers who tend to work some of these mm-hmm. industries. I think it's either on the way to Carpinteria that there's, like, a small little farm off the next to the beach. I just think about, like, how those –
The impacts
of those chemicals, or just the impacts of just like working, and that debris that is produced from that. It just kind of things that are on my mind. But I think that type of education of like environmental impact and land acknowledgements and things like that for people who are coming to do the cleanup and things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that is something that is already talked about, or if there's like themes that come up every so often, like November's Native American Heritage Month. So I was just like in my mind thinking that this could be a way to, yes, educate about beach cleanups, but also for folks to understand that they're not only like cleaning up for the community, like the most present community that they're in, but mm-hmm. they're also impacting in a way that is culturally relevant and sustainable for our Native American tribes.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, we definitely would talk about that maybe in part two.
Yeah.
We could...
I'm thinking about the other shows that I've done right now, just, like, about the environment. Like, we've talked about fire. We've talked about, like, just, like... conservation efforts and things like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So I just think, like, in terms of the things that we've talked about, the Surfrider chapter and the ocean cleanup has so much overlap with, like, these efforts that I think might be, like, a space of allyship between all these different organizations.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
If someone's never volunteered before, what's the easiest way to get started?
Go to the beach.
Go to the beach. Well, we're on Meetup. Surfrider, I think, is on Golden. That's an app to find volunteering.
Yeah, and on their website, I think.
And on their website. And then YPNG, we're on Meetup, and we post the beach cleanups there. So you can sign up there and then just come out.
Yes, how to get involved, I would definitely say with Surfrider, if you wanted to check out our website, we've got, you know, programs and campaigns. We've got the Help the Kelp. So we have teamed up with another group, Revive Dive, that does underwater cleanups. That's another great organization and a great conversation. But I would say to check out our website and see which one seems like is relatable. And if you can't, how about if you, like Mickey said, if you're out on the beach and you do something, you pick up and you tag Surfrider, and then we can share that on our social media. Just that, hey, you heard about what we're doing and you just, you know, can't commit to a role but want to get involved, tag us and share that picture with us so that we can – we would love to see that, especially if you found out about us through the conversation here.
And we're just about to be at the end of our time here, so I wanted to go by and ask each of you, with the what's one message or something that we haven't talked about that you'd love to share with our listeners before we go? Mickey, you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, I guess it feels really good to be of service. I think people forget that.
Yeah. Thanks, Mickey. Celia?
Ooh. It really isn't work if you love where you live. I mean, I consider it my sanctuary when I'm out there on the sand. Whether Shell Beach or Avila Beach, Pismo Beach. And it's a great sense of community and to get involved. And like Lars mentioned, you know, you're with like-minded people. So I would say that, there are so many ways to get involved. Just start.
And what about you, Lars?
Yeah, I love the saying that, you know, you got to be a part of the change that you want to see in your community. So if you're interested in land conservancy or keeping the beaches clean or social justice or all these great, like, honorable things to fight for, you got to go out and participate in those programs and find them. And it's like it's your due diligence to be, you know, a member of society. No one is just like gets to check out and just like say, oh, it'll work itself out. Because if you leave it in the hands of somebody else, then they're going to do it the way they want to do it. So if you want it done the way that you want it done, then you got to be a part of it.
Thank you. Yeah. And then right before we go, if we could just mention the next cleanup and social.
I forget the date. The third Sunday?
Yeah, every third Sunday in Avila.
At Avila, yeah.
Third Sunday, Avila.
6:30 p.m.
6:30 at Blue Moon.
Meet up.
At Blue Moon, yeah.
Meet up at Blue Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you heard it right here on KCBX FM. We are talking with Surf Rider, San Luis Obispo Chapter, the Surf Rider Foundation, San Luis Obispo Chapter, and the Young Professionals Networking Group. And they said that it's going to be the third Sundays, 6:30 p.m. at Blue Moon in Avila Beach for the next cleanup. Thank you, all three of you, for being here today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Mario.
Thank you, Mario.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome.
Thank you for having Surf Rider.
And thank you so much for joining us today, listeners. We hope you'll tune in next time for Central Coast Voices on Thursday, August 13th at 1 p.m. with host Fred Monroe and his guest from Positive Ride, a group that promotes accessibility and outdoor activity. Central Coast Voices is co-produced by the show's hosts in collaboration with KCBX. We depend on folks like you to continue these programs. So please donate today or become a member with your monthly donation online at www.kcbx.org. I'm your host, Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik. Thank you for joining us.